instead of having to depend on external sources.
Right, right. Thanks. Anurang, a couple of questions on the India business. One, could you highlight what was the ABS production for FY22 or sales value, and how do you see that in FY23? And similarly, how what was the revenue from, let's say, Hyundai, Kia, or the four-wheeler aluminium casting? Have we ramped up to the overall order book of around 200 odd crores?
No. No, as far as Hyundai and Kia is concerned, it is approximately, we have done, I'll just tell you, we have done, first I'll tell you about FY22. So it was with Kia and Hyundai, we have done, I'll just give me a minute.
Sure.
Let us do the right thing. So we have done about 140 crores in last year, which is in FY22.
Right.
And of course, this figure will increase now. You know, I don't like to give forward-looking figures, but yes, I told you we have won 235 crores worth of orders. So let's hope how it goes. We have a new plant at Vallam set up for that, you know. And what was your earlier question? I'm sorry.
ABS, similar. I mean, either production number or value for FY22, and how do you see that ramping up? Especially with semiconductor issues for this year? I mean, just a direction.
I just like to put it, by September 22, we'll reach the run rate of 400,000. And I think, though we started in the month of, we started in October of 2021, we started with 5,000, then did 7, then we did 10, we have reached 13, we also reached, I think, a figure of 18. Question is, it's a bit volatile because of the ABS ECU supplies we get from Mandohella, But now the position has improved. Even the Shanghai lockdown didn't help much. As you know, there was a lockdown the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But now things are opening up, and we are very confident that based on whatever stocks were there, the pipeline is there in process, in transit, and looking at this, whatever Mandohella has told us, that's why we are very confident by March, we'll be able to reach the full run rate and continue with the supplies, because after we have reached 400,000, then of course, we are talking to other OEMs also. It's not only, we already started supplies, Royal Enfield, Bajaj. The opportunity is huge, 3 to 3.5 million, mainly controlled by Bosch. So we have a long way to go. And then of course, we can think of starting to increase further the capacity beyond 400,000.
Right, right. Perfect. That's really helpful. Thank you, and all the rest.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to limit your question to two at a time. The next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question.
Absolutely.
First, more on the number side, sir. Revenue and EBITDA for the European operations in euro terms, if you could please share for fourth quarter.
Massimo?
Quarter four euro.
Yes.
Quarter, would you have the quarter four euro numbers? In fact,
yes. For sure. We closed the previous quarter with a total income of 62.6 million of euro compared 61.4 million of the previous financial year. Total EBITDA 7.9 million of euro compared 11.4 million of euro of the previous financial year, 12.6% in terms of percentage. Net result 2.7 million of euro compared 5.5 million of euro of the previous financial year. And so it means 4.4% of net result. Without aluminum cost and without energy cost, the EBITDA in the quarter would have been 18.3% compared to 18.6% of the previous financial year.
Thank you so much for this. Now coming to the Maxwell acquisition, sorry, from a reporting term, will you be reporting that part of a standalone numbers, or would it be a separately reported entity? Just asking because right now it's your European business is simply consolidated minus standalone, but naturally if Maxwell is not reported in standalone, then we'll probably need some more details. So will it be reported as a separate entity, or will it be part of the standalone business?
as and when the, this is Satyajit Ray here, as and when the acquisition is consummated, at that point in time, it will be a subsidiary of Endurance.
All right, sir. So we need to get separate numbers for that. It will not be just...
No, they'll be separate. It will be a part of the consolidated accounts, but at the time of the annual report, you will get separate subsidiary numbers, as is the statutory requirement.
Sure. Then finally, if you could just explain the BMS front. Is there any trend where the OEMs might be insourcing, i.e. going for backward integration in terms of BMS? Because right now, whatever you said, it seems that there's a dependence on OEMs outsourcing the BMS. So could it be because of proprietary reasons or maybe competitive reasons, OEMs kind of go and backward integrate the BMS?
I'll request Atil Aryan to answer that.
Yeah, so I think again, there was a question around competitive advantages, and I think that, I'll repeat my answer to some extent over there. If you think about it from an OEM standpoint, right now, unlike the, for example, the Teslas or Aethers of the world, when they were trying to get into market, they, they've invested 10 years to try and build the product. But now with the electric vehicle journey becoming very real, a lot of OEMs need to get to market faster, right? So the time to market has to be kept into consideration. The second, from a safety and reliability standpoint, a lot of OEMs need to focus at the vehicle level and offering vehicle level services to the customers, just like a lot of the new age OEMs are doing. Whereas at the component level, they need something that is tried, tested, safe and reliable that can hit the roads, in a fast, swift, but reliable manner. And so they're looking for, strong partners that have done the R&D, just like us. For example, we started in 2017 when the EV revolution was not as strong, right? And we sort of spent the time removing all of the different issues and glitches that come along the way. Next, like I mentioned, from an R&D standpoint, there are a lot of improvements that can happen at an algorithm, so embedded software level, power management, and battery management overall, as well as charging and range optimization. And all of that R&D today, we have a 100-member team that is doing that R&D with Endurance support, with growing that to over 250 people. And any OEM, for that matter, for one component, they are not setting up 300-member teams to try and, build one component and optimize that component to a point where it's the world's most efficient or optimized product for what it does. The last thing that I want to highlight is, when it comes to, of course, you are seeing the world with a semiconductor, shortage standpoint, and how difficult it is to really even, bring supply chains and operations together to make one single board a reality. From a cost standpoint, you have seen the cost of semiconductor components going up significantly. Now, in our case, because we are supplying to many OEMs, both India and international, we have the, the benefit of being able to buy in larger volumes. Those components have better, stronger relationships, not only with our Tier 2, but also Tier 3 and Tier 4 partners to ensure that those components reach us in time. So what we have to offer to OEMs, even from a, from a partnership standpoint, is not just the fact of whether they want to do this, in-house or not, but whether it comes to faster time to market, better technology, tried and tested supply, in-house R&D, optimized cost, improved features moving forward, all of that comes to them at, an optimized cost when they work with us versus trying to do everything by themselves.
Thanks for this. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Kokane from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I had a question on the India business and the Europe business as well. So I just wanted to understand what is the impact of the EV shift on the castings business. So what is the mix of engine parts within castings that can get impacted by the shift to electrification? So that would be my first question.
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, also as far as castings are concerned, we already started supplies for the Bajaj Chetak, and soon we'll be starting supplies for the Bajaj three wheelers. We are also in touch with other EV makers for castings. So just like to just give you a flavor that why casting becomes EV agnostic, because of course, like say for example, I take a two-wheeler. So you have in an IC engine casting right your crankcases, left hand, right hand, you have a cover, left hand, right hand, you have cylinder blocks, then you have cylinder head and cover. When it comes to a two-wheeler EV, you have the base MCU, you have the terminal phase, terminal power, terminal ground, housing battery upper, housing battery lower, plate middle, plate upper, motor housings. So you have more number of castings, and the value is the same in spite of the weight being lower. So here you have 7 components which are higher weight than 9 castings in an EV which are lower weight, and the value add being similar. When you come to three wheeler, you have similar castings, but you also have the case transmissions, both LH and RH added to it. So the types of castings are different. There are more number of castings having lower weight. Of course, in three wheeler, there are almost 11 types of casting versus 9 type of castings in a two wheeler, compared to 7 each in a two wheeler, three wheeler. But the weights are lower in as far as two wheeler is concerned. In three wheeler, the castings are more. They are 11, so the weight is higher overall. But the value add in a EV is much higher. And I mentioned this in the past also.
Okay, so thanks for that, sir. Second question is on the Europe business. So we've seen a strong sequential growth in revenues in the European business in 4Q. So is that largely explained by the input cost inflation pass-through, or is there something else going on over there as well?
Massimo?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, sir. So basically, we've seen a strong sequential growth in European revenues. So is that explained by the input cost inflation pass-through, or is there something else over there?
So if we are speaking about the last quarter, we closed with 1.2 million euros of increase of turnover compared to the previous year. But if I offset the increase of material, the reduction of turnover would have been 4.2%. And so it means that the increase of turnover in the last quarter is only due to the raw material. And also the total financial year compared to the previous 2021, even if you see a reduction in total financial year that is more or less an increase that is 10.6 million of euros, 5.1%. If I offset the increase of material, there is a reduction of more or less 4%.
Okay, understood. And Anurang, just a last question on this Maxwell acquisition. Do we have any synergies, with our existing business product segments with this BMS product? Initially somebody asked what is the benefit that Endurance is bringing to the table. So we talked about customer access, but beyond that, existing product lines and BMS, any synergies that you're seeing over there? That would be my last question. Thanks.
So here, like I mentioned, we have already started our foray into embedded electronics when we got the EBS business, from our clients. And like I said, we are setting up our own embedded electronics lab in Chakan in Pune. And we are getting into electronic products for our products, like I said, for brakes, transmission and suspension, high-end products. And at the same time, we are getting into new electronic parts also. And I think with the acquisition of Maxwell, Mr. Akhil Aryan mentioned, we'll be adding a lot of new products which they had planned and what we have planned. So it will make our journey much, much more easier now with such a strong team of, 100 people at Maxwell and going up to 250. At the same time, we'll of course have our own electronic lab at Chakan. So now embedded electronics is a very large focus at Endurance, for the future.
Okay. Thanks. That's all from my end. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, and congratulations. Hello. For a good set of numbers. I just wanted to get a macro picture, Anurag sir, from you, that how is after all these headwinds that we faced in the past 3-4 years and actually come out you know, quite stronger. Now, how does the industry look going forward, maybe two-wheelers, three-wheelers, or even passenger vehicles and utility vehicles across, you know, domestic plus Europe? I mean, Europe, maybe there might be some headwinds for the next few months, but what is the scenario on ground? Is it changing for good? Because the auto industry as a whole has been facing, you know, a lot of brunt, say, the transitions and the commodity headwinds, everything, but we still managed to somehow stay strong. So what is the picture looking like on a macro basis going forward?
So,
not
so
looking for any
about,
specifics?
Yes, so I'll talk about India, then I'll request Mr. Venuti to Massimo Venuti to talk about Europe. So if you see our India business, as you know, 80% of that business is for two-wheelers. So motorcycles and scooters, largely it is for motorcycles. And if you see the two-wheeler sales, you know, in FY18, or I would say the manufacturing in India, FY18 was 23 million two-wheelers. In FY19, it was 24.4. FY20, which was amongst the, I would say, one of the bad years, was 20.9. FY21 went down to 18.4, mainly because of the first quarter, which we lost in the first COVID. But it really, the pent-up demand really made up in the next three quarters. And in FY22, we have had the lowest number in years, which is 17.9 million. Now, the challenges which we are facing, as you know, are, of course, the semiconductor shortages. Today, I know our OEMs are losing anywhere between 40,000 to 60,000 vehicles a month, which is, and they're telling us there's a strong pent-up demand, which is playing up. Now, the question is, according to me, till this electronics settles down, which people are telling us from quarter two is when they expect in India, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, because for our ABSs, I've said it will be September, you know. So we'll have to see how, because India is, I've always mentioned, is a 24 million two-wheeler market, and it has to grow. There are reports saying it should go to 30 million by FY26, FY27. So the question is, it will all depend on the external environment. Today is a semiconductor. Secondly, the commodity prices have gone through the roof. Last seven quarters have seen unprecedented increases in steel and aluminium, with small, okay, dips here and there, which is there, you know. At the same time, you have ocean freights, which have gone up substantially. There's a shortage of containers. So we are living in a very, very difficult period. So in fact, if you ask me personally, so we are a very, we are a cash positive company, but it's been one of the most challenging years, and I can say, for both India and Europe, and Massimo will also say that. It's been one of the most difficult years. And to reach these numbers are because of our past strategy, which I've always said is of outsourcing to, you know, good suppliers, consolidation of our plants, even which we did during COVID period, and a very strong, you know, sourcing team which we have, and our, you know, operational efficiency. And that's why you see the kind of margins in one of the most difficult periods, you know, which at least I can say I've faced after the 2008 financial crisis. So I'm, of course, very positive about the future. I really hope the semiconductor issues get sorted out fast, which is, according to me, the major reason now for lower volumes both in India and Europe. Massimo, would you like to add anything about Europe?
Yes. I remark your position regarding the strong situation of endurance into the market. One of the major point of strength of endurance, I continue to say, in Europe in this moment is we are debt free, and also in a difficult financial year like the 21st and 22, we have been able in Europe to increase our cash net financial position of 5 million of euros. Today we have 25 million of euros cash, and this can make the difference in the future 12-18 months, because for sure the period is very tough, and apparently, considering also the actual of April and the projection of May and June, will be very tough also in the future. But from my point of view, we have to see the situation of the automotive market considering the last 5 years. So in Europe, we lost 4 million of registration. We closed in 2021 with 13 million of vehicles. And you can imagine what does it mean for a manufacturing company as we are. When you reduce your turnover of 30%, 35%. But as endurance, we lost, compared to the previous COVID situation, only is not the correct word probably, but 17, 18% due to the important acquisition done in the past. Why I'm optimistic for the future? Because we are taking new business. And please consider that one of the major problems in the past was our dependence from, in an important way, from the diesel technology, gasoline, internal combustion engine. Today we acquired business and we have a visibility. At the end of 2027, I know that the interest of everybody is tomorrow morning, but for me, when I go to sleep in the evening, I know that Endurance in 2027 has more or less 80% of the actual product portfolio acquired in electric, plug-in, and mild hybrid. Believe me that I'm optimistic compared to 24 months ago. For sure, we are thinking about the future, but in a year tough as 2022, we close with 14% of EBITDA and making profit, making cash profit, reducing our financial debt or increasing our liquidity. With the visibility of more or less 60 million of euros of investment that we have to do in the next 3 years for the new project in the electrical field, I want to be optimistic, even if the situation today is very tough. You can imagine, in this moment, it's not only a problem of electricity. It's another problem of raw materials. Europe bought 90% of the raw material to produce battery from Russia and China. And so, sooner or later, we have to discuss about this transition, because probably we have to postpone the rules that will oblige the OEM to produce only electrical vehicles starting from 2030. But I'm pretty sure that something will happen in the next month. As Endurance, I continue to say the most important thing is the acquisition of new order for the future.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what I said. We've actually stayed true to our name, Endurance, despite of so many headwinds. So congratulations to the management again.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very well put.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kale from Elara. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good set of results. So my first question is regarding your existing products market share in the EV portfolio. So how should one look at it? While we understand that you've acquired this Maxwell and you want to increase your content per vehicle in on the EV side of it as well. But if you have to look at your existing products market share, it may be these are initial days, but it could be a little lower than what your ICE vehicle market share is for the suspension product. So any steps that the company is taking to improve our EV market share in their existing products, and how should one look at that portfolio in the next 4-5 years, be it suspension or casting products for the EV two-wheeler?
Yeah, see, the way that I like to put it is that, as you know, we've already won about 15 and 50 million worth of orders for EVs. For brakes, for suspension, mainly, largely. Of course, with Bajaj 2 and 3-wheelers, we are, 100%, whatever they make as of now. And I can only say that, you know, because it is very early days, because today EVs are about less than 1% of the total market, the last figure I saw, for the total automobile market. So I can only say that we are engaged with every single EV company which matters, you know. And we are going all out to take business. And like I said last time, we were a bit late in the day. We started our engagement process a bit late. But we are making up pretty fast now because of our strength of our technology, our pricing. We are making up. So I'd just like to put it that we are highly focused to get more and more business, you know. And it's a bit too early to talk about now wallet share. I can only say the pricing is quite similar. Casting, I've already shared, the pricing is quite similar. On the casting front, and suspension also we see is quite similar to EV suspensions. Compression and the tension forces may vary, you know, but it's very similar. The pricing is similar, the braking prices are similar. So I don't see any issue once we get the business, you know. In fact, what is that major business coming from scooters, where today the Endurance share of business is hardly 8%, you know, of its India. And this we need to really grow. And fortunately, EVs are coming more in scooters, you know, compared to motorcycles. So for us, all the scooter business which we win is going to be extra. But I'm not seeing many motorcycle companies coming in, barring Revolt or Torque, you know.
And so I think this scooter business will be, you know, additional business. But having said that, we are fully engaged on scooters, motorcycles, three-wheelers.
Understood. Great. So thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take one last question, which is from the line of Kumar Saurav from Scientific Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello. So my question is more around the asset and depreciation. So if I look at the depreciation, it's almost 16% of net fixed asset. Usually the auto industry, it's around 10-12%. So with that, what is the reason for high depreciation and what is your annual maintenance capex? And again, related to asset, the asset turns from last 3-5 years from 3.5, it has fallen to 2.8. So can you highlight the reasons and how do you see it panning out in the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so I'll request Mr. Satri Gray to answer this.
So the first question is on depreciation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you look at, I don't think one should look at Endurance and compare it with other auto ancillaries in India, because Endurance is distinctly broken into four businesses. One is die casting, one is suspension, one is brakes, one is clutch, which is transmission. So the asset requirement of these businesses are different. So in case of Endurance, if you look at the annual numbers, you will see that our depreciation annually is about 200 crores. So which follows the Companies Act rate of depreciation. So I don't see a problem with that, and it has nothing to do with the kind of percentage it should be on the gross fixed asset, because you are looking at four distinct businesses. You are seeing a blended number at the company level. So probably that percentage is not representative. Now, what was the second question?
Sir, what is the maintenance capex?
Maintenance capex is next to nothing, because in the last 2 years, about 70-75% of our capex has gone into expansions. In fact, last year, the major two expansions were in the brakes and our alloy wheel expansion, which we have disclosed in our previous conference calls. So maintenance capex, 2-3%, 5%, it's never more than that.
Okay. And so the last question was on asset turns, which I see net fixed asset has fallen from 3.5 to 2.8. So what is the view going forward for next 2-3 years?
Oh, the problem is that if you see last year, probably is not the best year to compare. I mean, it's a very difficult comparison. In quarter one of 2021, we were at nowhere. Then the next 3 quarters were very strong. So last year, again, you see major, whatever growth you are seeing is a function of metal price increase. So asset turnover numbers probably are not as representative as they would be in a steady state business situation.
Sure. So we are confident one thing, the demand comes back and the auto cycle revives, they will again go to their, you know, the best of the scenarios.
Yes.
Okay, sir. Yes. Thanks a lot and wish you all the best.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
No, well, we have no further closing comments. Whatever we had to say in my opening remarks, I mentioned that. And whatever questions we had, we have answered. So there are no further closing comments.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.